Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 9 recap of Survivor 43, and good things come to those who wait. There's been some frustration about this season, but I feel like this double boot episode was really good, and we saw a lot of storylines come to a head, which we'll talk about. We also had our first guest on of the season this past Monday, which is Zach Wurtenberger. Did a great job. He only got 18 points though in the power rankings game, where Alexa and Phil got 19 each. We killed it. So just want to let everybody know that we are still specialists, but Zach beat pretty much all of our patrons. So he's right there with us. And we didn't really know what the tribe split was going to be when we started the podcast, even though 95% of the internet did, and they all ended up being correct. So as we spoke in hypotheticals for the rest of the podcast, here we are. Split them into 5 and 5. Two people go home. It's Ryan and James. Alexa, what'd you think?
I thought this episode was unbelievable. And I totally see the frustrations that people have had. And I've tried to keep like an open mind about this season. This episode was so much fun. And I know that these double tribals, they are now part of the process. But I'm glad that they're here, because now people can plan for them. So there's no surprise. It's not unfair. But this served its exact purpose, which is blowing up a majority alliance. I'm glad a majority alliance existed to be blown up, because I cared so much about every single conversation that happened. If they were in, you know, like if it was fluid and there wasn't a majority alliance, it wouldn't have been as intense for both tribal councils. I genuinely couldn't tell who was going to go home on the, I don't know which color it was, but on the tribe where James went home, this was Noelle's coming out episode. She was amazing. She was hilarious. And she said she was going to do something, and it actually happened. And it was really interesting. We'll get into it, but it's like Sammy tried to make it his move. But at the end of the day, this was very much still hers. And on the other side, like they could base it off of James going home. And I thought James going home was going to get Cassidy in trouble, but it ended up working out. So I thought this was really, really exciting. They actually had conversations at Tribal Council that meant something. And that also really stuck out.
Yeah. So back before we used to have like 10 episode seasons of shows, like, you know, like Game of Thrones was 10 episode seasons and everything like that. Back when Lost was on, Alexa, when it was 23 episodes a season, they used to have what they called the mid-season finale, right? So around Christmas time, there'd be an episode 12, 13, something like that. That was a game-changing episode that would keep people on a cliffhanger for the next 8 weeks or whatever it was until the show came back. There was a long break in between, which we don't get anymore. So it was pretty much like a mini season. This felt like that type of mid-season finale, because we had this first however many eight episodes where the show was going one direction. The women were getting picked off, even though it wasn't a men versus women thing, but the women were going home. We had Cassidy feeling frustrated. We had Sammy wanting to blow the game up. We had Noelle with all this power and nowhere to go. We had Jesse and Cody trying to figure out what was going to be the best thing for them. Owen with no agency. James working his way up to the top. We had all this going on. And now we have tonight's episode that just blows everything up. And if you look at this final eight, every time you say, oh, that person's going to work with that person or that person's in trouble, you can easily just turn it on its head and say, actually, they might not work together. Like, mm-hmm. It is so crazy how this final eight looks. The only two pairs that I am now confident in are Sammy and Carla and Jesse and Cody. I think those two pairs are locked in. But if they end up working together, who gets the upper hand in that situation? So there's a reason for everybody to work with everybody. I think it's really interesting. And I think we are set up for a really great final eight. And the best part about this whole thing, and sorry, James, but this is the best part. Because James went home, Jeff Probst now has to burn the knowledge's power again. Again.
It will it's not you, James, work. I promise.
Oh gosh!
But don't you worry. It's going to come out in the premiere of 44. Well, I swear.
I actually heard that as soon as Cassidy survived the vote, when she was leaving, Jeff like shook her hand to say congratulations and handed her the knowledge is power. So she's good. Yeah,
she's good. And then when Cassidy gets voted out, he's going to give it to Carla, mm-hmm. and then Carla's probably just going to keep it and actually potentially use it correctly.
At some point, Jeff is just going to look at somebody and say, "Okay, you have to answer this truthfully. Do you have an idol?" And it's going to, and then they're going to answer it to be great. Give it to me. You're done. You can't use it anymore. Cause he's getting so pissed off that this isn't working, but it's never going to work.
Actually, do you want to know why it's Cassidy who's going to be gifted a free advantage? Cause that woman stands up there on national TV, looks Jeff dead in the eyes and says the words, the monster. Unbelievable. Really incredible.
That's all it took. I mean, you know, I was texting you and I was comparing the season to Token Sheens very suddenly.
Yeah, we were like casting it.
I was essentially casting because I feel like Cody and Jesse were getting very JT and Steven. Like it really had that feel. And Cassidy kind of feels like Aaron with two N's, who is the true winner of Survivor Token Sheens. But maybe Cassidy isn't that. And maybe Cassidy is coach, because if there's one thing Cassidy did tonight, she knew the exact buzzwords to say to ensure that she was on national television. Mm-hmm. Because if you say the words, the monster, they are going to do everything in their power to make sure that airs. You would have to say something like horrible right before and right after without taking a breath for them to not put that on TV. So good job, Cass.
She's officially going to be on Amazing Race next season. She's going to be on the challenge for the rest of her life. Cassidy never needs to work a day in her life.
Never.
She's good. I'm happy for you, Cassidy. Whether or not you win, at least you said the monster, and at least you had that going for you.
But let's talk about Cassidy real quick, because I was a little bit more on Twitter today, because I just wanted to tweet that I absolutely loved Survivor 43. But
wow,
then
did we both tweet at the same time tonight?
Maybe. I know. Look at us. I know. But I did it for my personal account, just so that it doesn't look like I don't want to speak for you. You know. So
thank you.
You're welcome. I know. I've learned that over the 5 years of doing this with you. Speaking for somebody else gets you in trouble.
The only tweet that I did is the same one that everybody else did, which is, does anybody want some papaya?
Oh my God. Well, we'll talk about that too, but I want to bring up the Cassidy thing first, and then we'll talk about the actual argument and everything, because that was good. Glory days. But Cassidy finally got backstory tonight. So as soon as I went to Twitter after her backstory, half of the population was like, oh my God, she's gone. I hate Survivor. They're already calling this the worst season, and now they really hate it. It's sexist. We hate you guys. And now you're going to show me Cassidy's backstory. And they thought she was toast. The other half was like, well, Cassidy wins. She's the next Erica, the next Marianne. It's over. She is our queen. She is done. What were you thinking in that moment? And do you think that it's going to go in that direction where this is building Cassidy up as a winner? Or was this just her storyline coming to a conclusion because she finally got rid of Ryan?
That's a really good point. This is the like Steven getting rid of Joe Anglim thing. Like she did the thing, but she said two things. She's wanted Ryan gone, and she said she's been wanting to play a quiet game. And she made a really good point in her confessional that I think is being proven, that she's playing her quiet game correctly. Whenever she wants someone gone, they do go, or let me go the other way. When someone guns for her, they go home. Like, worked with Gio, I worked with Ryan after a few attempts. I'm going to be honest, when the, you know, as soon as I heard the music, I was like, it's coming. Like, this, I hear,
they
like,
do that,
I hear,
one note. It's like, yeah. Dong, and then it's like, oh, here comes a sad story.
I really can't tell. I don't know the stats on this, but I feel like for every time somebody gets their emotional content, they are either safe or going home. I thought she was in trouble just because, like, it is clear that the nucleus was Carla, James, and Cassidy, and this was a chance to get two out of the three of them out. Because they're right, like, Ryan wasn't really a threat, but it sounds, it, I'm actually not really sure why they got rid of him, and it probably would have been smarter to keep him, but for my enjoyment, I am glad that he's gone. But he was good. I am, like, not going to buy into the he shouldn't be there. He, you know, he was useless. He was like, I thought he was really refreshing. And even in his last words, he was like, I'm just glad I could help everybody else get farther. Like, I'm so here for Owen and James wanting to murder each other. And I'm also here for that conversation happen in the same episode.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like, I've been kind of, I think, holding back my love for this season because it has been, I don't even feel like this has been a polarizing season. I just feel like when you go into the places where we actually interact with people, this has been a very hated season. I feel like that shifted a little bit last week, but it has felt very much like we can't wait to get through it, to the part where Carla is responding to people and being like, what was the one, A2 Brute? She said that to somebody this week where it was like, even you're going to go against my season. Like, what did I do to all of you? And I feel like this cast deserves so much more credit. And I feel like I've been holding back my love for it. But after tonight, one thing that I think is very important to remember is that we're watching a television show, right? Mm-hmm. And there has to be underdogs. There has to be heroes. There has to be villains. James was a great villain. I don't even think he meant to be a villain, but he was a great villain. And his storyline came to such a crashing halt that it did feel satisfying, even though I had no problem with James. But I was like, damn, let's go. This is a great episode because it was him and not the boring vote of Owen. And, you know, we always say Vanuatu is one of our favorite seasons. When at the final seven, you would look at that season and be like, this is the most boring thing I've ever seen. But it's the storyline that comes from that. It's a season like One World where the storyline doesn't break. It just kind of keeps going exactly where you expect it, that it's boring. Tonight, the expected boots would have been Owen and Cassidy based on what we saw, what we heard from the people who were speaking. So to see it be James first and see Carla vote for James, which we have to talk about, was epic. And then to follow that up, the editors did such a great job tonight of telling us that Jesse and Cody are going to vote off Cassidy if James is sitting over there. And then we get the really long confessional from Cassidy being like, oh, I'm so happy. Like at the voting confessional, oh, I'm so happy it's you. And the best part is you're coming after me too. And I'm like, Cassidy, don't get cocky, because that's when people go home. And then I start thinking that I'm like, oh, she doesn't even know that they're going to pull the wool over her eyes. And instead, Ryan goes home and Cassidy's still in the game. And it's like,
unanimously.
It feels exciting. It's something different.
It's really exciting. Both of these were just really exciting vote outs. And it's because there is tension and these people are either starting to not like each other or have not liked each other. And there's no like, ah, guys, you got me, which I mean, Ryan did, but that's because he's a nice guy. Like James was pissed and that was awesome. That was so good. And James and Owen just couldn't exist in the same room together. And I loved that. That made this episode so, so good. I had a feeling that James was going home because he was being shown to be like the wrong one, or he was more like cocky. But you love when the cocky person goes home. Mm-hmm. And it's great. And that someone quoted this on Twitter, but his line where he was like, I told you to vote for Janine because like you do what I tell you. I'm not going
to
do this.
It was, right? I told you to vote for Ryan so that you could prove that you were loyal, and you did that. So you proved it. Like, but you told him to vote the wrong way.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the logic was so bad, but it was really like, that was really exciting. And Owen just could not even like handle that. And it was really cool for him to be super real. And Owen was super real. And then Noelle was super real. She's like, I can't deal with this. Like, first of all, I can't leave this circle because I'm stuck here. And then even at tribal, she's like, you guys are the most annoying people. Like, shut up. And Jeff's like, no, 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 we're going to keep diving
into this. We're all sitting here like, please, Noelle, remove yourself so that they can just like fist the cuffs. I want it right now.
Literally. But it was cool to hear like a third party be so annoyed with them, because that's how you can feel that this was an actual fight.
Yeah. And so let's throw this out there for another, for all the Cassidy stands, which they're coming out of the woodwork now. And it's bringing me joy, because she is playing a very Michelle game. And it's like, even though Michelle didn't get the respect in 32, here's Cassidy getting it now. So it's like making me really warm and fuzzy inside. But let's give another shout out to Cassidy, because who voted for Ryan last week?
Cassidy.
Owen voted the right way last week. He didn't vote.
Does no one know this?
I just don't think Cassidy said anything, because she didn't want it out there that she went against what James and Carla had asked. And so I don't think that she wanted that out there. So she kept that to herself. And freaking Owen played it masterfully, where he just used the fact that there were two votes there to go in on James and be like, you told me to vote that way, and that's what I did. When in reality, the alligator is hiding over here and he's the one who told Owen to vote the right way. So James and Owen's entire fight, even though it was sound and it was obviously because Owen was being used by James and James and Owen just weren't going to get along, was actually continuing to go on because of something that didn't happen. Because Cassidy voted for Ryan, it allowed Owen to keep leaning into it and be like, you're the reason why I'm on the wrong side of things. And James thought Owen voted wrong when he didn't.
And that's what I'm really impressed by. Like, did Owen... Because if I'm Owen, I have to rewatch the episode, but I could have sworn that he said that he ended up voting for Janine. But I actually don't know if that's the case. And I have to assume he and Cassidy have not collaborated or discussed this. So it's really impressive that it kind of will just, this will just die until they all met up after the season aired. It was really, really cool. It was like the T-Bird voting for Lex situation. Mm-hmm. It was really good.
It was really good. I was so into that. And that's like, we've been craving this the whole time, right? Because you and I have said all along, we're tired of everybody being like so shiny and clean. Everybody is, I don't want to hurt your feelings, because, you know, like we've talked about it. Repercussions in the real world are a real thing now in 2022. So you got to be a little bit more careful, but I can get fucking loud too. I want that. Yeah. Like, I want that all the time.
Hate each other.
And what I think I love about this season is, even in the preview for next week, they can't go a 25-second preview without having to blur somebody's mouth, because Cody's in there saying, like, it's – this cast is just very real. And I'm not saying 41 and 42 weren't, but this cast just feels very real. And it feels like James's reaction tonight, I feel like we haven't seen since Michaela was voted out. Like, I really feel like that was the last time we saw somebody that pissed to be voted off of Survivor. There's been people mad, but they try to keep their cool. James is saying nonsense on his way. Good luck. See how far do you get now? They're a final eight, bro. They don't need to go that much further.
They're far.
Yeah, like, they're going to be golden, but that's the emotion I want. And I think James was a great casting decision. I talked about this last week. I'll talk about it again as much as I can, but I thought James was a great casting decision. And I think he was playing a really good game. Why did Carla vote him out? What do you think?
I really don't know. I thought when Sammy did that, I was like, this is going to blow up. I thought there were so many other ways this could have gone. I thought they were going to tell James. As soon as I realized that they were not involving James, I think that's when I realized that Carla was very open about the fact that James was her either number one or very, very close. But it's kind of like, you know, have strong convictions, but keep them loosely held. Like, James is your guy, but clearly I don't know if she gave it off or Sammy sensed it, that the two of them really vibed. And it was never to the extent where Sammy would have been too scared to mention James to her. Yeah. So I don't know if she saw what was happening with James and that it was eventually going to be a sinking ship. I really don't know. I'm a little shocked that she got rid of him, but I'm not, because she's proving to be just an exceptional player.
Yeah. So at first, so when Sammy went to Carla, one, this again showed that Sammy and Carla are much tighter than we thought. And it seems like Carla has Sammy wrapped around her finger a little bit.
Yeah. He's into her than she's into him.
And I think that's going to be Sammy's downfall in a couple weeks, maybe not next week, but I think that's going to happen soon, where Sammy's going to get blindsided by Carla, maybe in like a Shane Powers type way, right? Like at final six, where you're like, where did that come from, or Final Five, whatever it was. Like, how did that happen where you just didn't see it coming, even though to us it was so obvious? But I really do believe that if James didn't have the knowledge's power, Owen would have been sitting on the jury bench tonight. But yeah. Carla is now down to final eight. And no matter how close you are with somebody, they know you have an idol. We saw it happen with Wardog and Kelly. You can vote out anybody at any time. And she has her idol, James. I don't know if James actually knows about it or not. We really haven't gotten to the bottom of that.
I think at this point we would know if people know. I genuinely think nobody knows.
But Carla now ensures, at least from her knowledge, that her idol is fine.
Yeah.
And the moment she needs to play it, she will be able to do so. And she's at final eight. She's only got to get through 8, 7, 6, and 5. And she just won immunity tonight. So mm-hmm. she proved, and not for nothing, she won a really hard immunity, right?
Yeah. Like,
for what she had. That's what I mean. Like, with like a broken finger, James was yelling, or your broke finger or something like that, which is really funny because it's like she has like a cut. But still, to win that challenge is hard. I was surprised it went that way. And I thought the moment Sammy started talking, I thought, Noelle and Owen, they're getting cocky. They're just going to feel really good about it. And it's going to backfire because of Sammy. And then I thought kind of the same thing with Cassidy. Once James went over there, I was like, oh, now she's going to feel confident. But it worked out. And we'll see if this was the best move for Carla. But I think Carla has James. Think about Adam Klein described this to us when he did his tell-all with us. Michaela always felt she was the closest with everybody. And so Adam would tell her information or something, and then he would hear it from Jay or something. And she'd be like, did you tell Jay that? Yeah, I did. Okay, well, Jay is closer with Adam than Jay was with Michaela. So of course he was going to go tell Adam. Think about where Carla stands right now. She is probably Jesse's number two, because it seems like Cody is his number one. So she's Jesse's number two. She is Sammy's number one, which has been proven the last 2 weeks. And she's Cassidy's number one. Mm-hmm. So if you include her in that with half the cast, she's two people's number one and one person's number two. And they have Cody because Jesse, who she's their number two, has Cody. She's in such a phenomenal position. And I think that's why she's allowed to have these conversations with everybody and why it's working in her favor. And it doesn't hurt her to lose a James who might have taken votes from her at a final tribal because they played very similar games.
Yeah. And I think everybody wants to work with her. The next time on Survivors only means so much. I don't think her name still came up. It's like Jesse and Cody are running it. Like somehow it's continuing to stay away from her. And I agree with you. You get rid of, I talked about this briefly in the predictions. Two advantages are out the window now. Noelle's seal of vote has been played. Knowledge's power is gone. And now there's only the three idols left and that's it.
It's Cody. It's Carla.
And Jesse.
And Jesse, that's right. Yeah. And Jesse has. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I think getting rid of all those advantages now that there's even the three idols with eight people left is still like incredibly scary. But what's so impressive about Carla is she wins this immunity and everyone is like lit for it. And that, like, even still, it almost seems like nobody even noticed. It's like the JT thing where people are like, man, wouldn't it be awesome if JT won while they're playing against him? She's really magnetic and it's really working for her.
Yeah. And I do think it was funny when, was it Noelle or Sammy? I think it was Sammy. When Sammy was trying to describe James and Owen fighting, he said something along the lines of, well, they have such a mutual respect for each other. Like, and Owen kind of laughed. And then James looked at him and nodded. So Owen looked up and nodded. And while I don't believe that in that moment, Owen and James had a mutual respect for each other by any stretch, which I love, hate each other. That's what Survivor's all about, baby. Like, let's do it. And you know what? Johnny Fairplay and Sandra hated each other on the island, and now Sandra's running around the freaking country with Johnny Fairplay showing up to all his shows, which is great.
Yeah.
But I do actually think that this cast as a whole really likes each other. And I think at the beginning of the season, like, we talked a lot with Gabler and how it just seemed like, man, that guy was just getting hammered by the edit. Everybody had something negative to say about Gabler. Gabler gave Owen the information last time.
Yeah.
And Owen wasn't sitting there going, wow, Gabler's so stupid. I can't believe he told me that. Owen was grateful for that. And now we see Gabler, Cody, and Jesse shaking hands. And who knows what all this means? And we'll talk about that alliance, if we will. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like there's nobody on this season that they're all just like, oh, I'm just disgusted by you. I can't handle you. Even Ryan, like, they all make fun of him because he's talking about the 30 pounds of clam he has in his bag. But they still like the guy. The guy is right. Just his own brand. And that's what Survivor is supposed to be.
Yeah. I actually missed that with the head nod because when Sammy said these are two people with mutual respect for each other, first of all, like, that shows that Sammy is playing really well. And we just gassed up Carla so deservedly. And I do think that Sammy still deserves this too. He, like, I'm curious if this will quell his appetite of, like, this was his move, or he'll see this as his move. And maybe it'll have him, like, slow down a little bit. But I think Sammy's in a really good position. Like, he said that, and I was like, these people fucking hate each other. Mm-hmm. But they laughed at that. Like, they liked it. So he is an incredible mediator.
Yes, he is an incredible mediator. And I think that Sammy, you know, I think the strength of Sammy's game has been shown in these last 2 weeks with his relationship with Carla. Mm-hmm. Because how were we supposed to know that he was that close with Carla? Because we hadn't seen anything like that. And yet he was still doing so well with Owen. Gabler still felt that Sammy was working with him. Janine still felt like she was working with Sammy. Like, Sammy has been doing a phenomenal job. And for him to have made such an inroad with Carla that he was able to make a convincing enough speech to her, because that happened. He was able to convince her well enough that voting out James was the right thing for her game. And I'm not saying Carla doesn't have agency in the move that she made. I'm just saying Sammy had to be convincing in why this was going to be right for her and why he felt the need to do this. And I loved his argument of, so you're telling me that James is more important to your game than I am, because he was kind of putting her on the spot in that mm-hmm. moment, because she definitely felt James was tighter with her. But by Sammy saying that, she can't say, okay, well, I'm going to keep James because he's my number one, because Sammy's just going to go with the other two anyway. So really, Carla made the right move, whether she felt it was going to be the right move or not. But Sammy put her in a good spot there, or, you know, at least for him to say, who's your number one?
That's a really good point. And that's, like, assuming that's intentional, which it was, mm-hmm. that was a really impressive way to not make her feel pressured, because this felt like her decision still. It felt like Sammy went to her and was like, hey, like, me and you, let's come to this decision together. So it's still coming off as her decision rather than, like, Sammy went up to you and said, you had to do this. It's really impressive because now the remaining people are really, really good players. And I feel like this, it's been messy and it's been good, but I feel like this is a really strong final eight in terms of mm-hmm. gameplay.
They're all playing so hard. I mean, there's not a single player out there who is clueless. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's nobody out there where you're sitting saying, just drag him to the end. I mean, really, like, Ryan had to kind of go to get rid of the, this person can't win, but why couldn't any of these eight people win that are left in the game? I mean, even Gabler, who at the beginning, we'd be sitting here going 0% chance of winning, with how he's kind of turned it around and everything, I don't see any reason why he couldn't win. He would just have to sit next to maybe the right people or make at least one or two moves from here on out. But I'd probably say he has the least amount of chance to win the game right now. Mm-hmm. And I'd still say he's got at least a 5-10% chance, which might not sound good, but there's only eight people left. You can't have much more than a 10% chance.
Yeah, that's a good point. Gabler, no chance of going home tonight. I stand by putting him at number one.
I loved it. That was ballsy and it worked. I mean, when those tribes broke out, when we read it on the podcast and when I saw it again tonight, I was like, Gabler's in a little bit of trouble. And instead, mm-hmm. Cody and Jesse said, okay, you want to get rid of Ryan or you want to get rid of Cassie? And I was like, let's go. Mike Gabler. I just, you know, I couldn't help it. But Gabler is doing a good job of kind of going with the flow when he needs to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he made, like he said, he picked his head up to get rid of Ellie. And then he lowered his head back down and is kind of letting things happen. And if this Cody, Jesse, Gabler thing actually does prove to be an alliance, Gabler isn't going to beat either of them in a final three, but he just positioned himself better to get further into the game at this point. Like, he is playing the game the way you're supposed to play the game when you don't really have the numbers, which is a position he's been in. He's clearly still tight with Owen and Sammy too.
Yeah.
And every week that goes by, I think he builds more respect with them, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cody went to him. Like, Cody went to him and was like, hey, I'm feeling something here. And Gabler's like, yeah, same. And I think they both meant that. But Gabler's the one who doesn't have an alliance right now. So it was really impressive for Cody to go to him and say, hey, let's vote this way. They so easily could have been like, Gabler is the only one of the four of us not in the alliance, so let's vote him out. Mm-hmm. That wasn't even a conversation.
Yeah, the seven wasn't even mentioned tonight. There was not even
a loosely held seven. Yeah.
A loosely held seven. But you know, the other thing, and you know, we look into the edit way too much, but another thing to look at is Gabler. Every confessional about Gabler up to this point has been, he's not very good at the game. He doesn't know what's going on. He's just there. He's annoying. He's trying to put palm fronds on me while I'm sleeping. When people talk to him, they don't seem pissed off at him. But confessionals have been bad. Tonight, in a confessional, Cody said how much he likes Gabler and how Gabler's working hard and playing the game.
Yeah.
That's huge, especially now that we're getting to Final Eight. The perspective on Gabler has changed. And I would say that the perspective on Cassidy at this point has changed from whatever they thought she was going to be at the beginning, which she blended in perfectly. And the perspective on Sammy, which I don't think was ever down, but for us, has changed. I think that all eight of these players are in a position where if they sat at Final Tribal and made the right speech, could win the game. Like, you think about last season, Mike, Marianne, Romeo sitting at Final Three. Mike or Marianne could have won, but Romeo had no agency for too long to ever be able to convince anybody he could win. I mean, they all say he had probably the best, he had one of the best Final Tribal Council performances, but there was nothing for him to say that was going to convince them to vote for him. Mm-hmm. Everybody on this season has something that they can say that's, you know what, we should vote for you because it's pretty unreal that you're still sitting.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I to go back to the Gabler thing, it has been really cool to see that change. And yeah, the Gabler and Cassidy comparison, I think, is really good because Gabler and Cassidy are the two people who have directly said what their strategy is, and it's happening. Mm-hmm. And the thing is now, like, sure, Gabler gets to the end and he probably has less moves, but people really like him. People want to work with him. And even he had a confessional tonight. He said, like, fill our tummies with nourishment. Like, that's like a silly thing to say.
Yeah.
And I think that's his personality. It's silly, but he actually like meant that. And I think that's a really easy way to let your, like, people are going to let their guard down around someone like that, especially if they're playing really intense, like Sammy or Carla or Jesse.
Well, and you know, the one season we've compared this to probably the most is Gabon. And out of that Final Three, I'd say the person who won might've played the worst game out of all three of them. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, now it's Token Chains. We casted the whole Final Eight into that.
And out of the Final Three, the person who won played the worst game out of all three of them because Aaron with two ends played the best one. But it's like, no, it's just when you sit down and you really look at this, it is going to depend on what are people voting for. Did Carla lose James's vote tonight? Maybe. She might have just straight up lost his vote. So if it's Carla and it's Sammy and it's Gabler sitting at Final Three, James might say, you know what? I'm voting for Gabler because you two pissed me off and blindsided me. And the worst part for James, and I think why Carla might have actually lost his vote at Final Tribal, because I know a lot of times now people are kind of getting over that and that's not really happening. I think the worst part for James was he had to turn around and go sit right there and look at all of them as they left and then watch the next tribal without being able to go home. The anger, the frustration, and the betrayal is all there. And you have to look the person in the eye as they're about to walk back to camp. That's the worst thing for James. He didn't get to do the walk of shame. That would have been better. So I think that might have actually hurt her more. But, you know, at the end of the day, James is also going to have 9 more days to decide if he's still pissed off or not.
Yeah, exactly. I think he was going to be pissed either way. But that is a good point that he had to watch her go back. And we didn't see this. It probably didn't happen. But, like, she very easily could have, like, looked at him or, you know, like made some kind of face, or like sometimes people wink at each other. Mm-hmm. I think that was just like stone cold. Just vote him out. Get out of here.
And then you get Noelle, who was just clearly having a day out there, just pissed off at everybody, being like, yeah, it was a sign of respect. Okay.
Yeah, like, that was amazing. She's like, get out of here. That's exactly what it was. Get over yourself. So good. She had no business for any bullshit, and it's really good to see that.
So great. And she was, you know, she's riding on the high of making a good move. It's like,
oh yeah.
get off my cloud. Like, get out of here. I made that move. Do not knock me down a peg. Like, I love Noel. I think she's playing really well. I think Noel is a perfect example of had nothing going for her.
Yeah.
Nothing. And managed to just keep pulling herself through one day at a time until now she's in a position where you have let a Paralympian make the final eight. Like, that is, she wins an immunity or two. She gets to the end in the right alliance. She's winning this game in a landslide. And she did finally, she passed Chad. So I said in one of my bold predictions before the season began that she was going to be the highest ranking amputee in the history of Survivor, and she beat Chad officially, right? Because Chad was, oh no, wait, Chad, oh, finished God, eighth.
I have no idea. All right, she's so gonna make it through next week.
He was nine.
Oh, okay. That's, I cannot believe you know that. I genuinely cannot believe that.
Wait, Alexa, Sarge was ninth, he was eighth. Okay, she's tied with Chad.
Okay, well, she's getting there. You can only hope.
One more week.
No, and she is also really refreshing because she, like, doesn't seem to have the same level of like strategic gameplay that the Carlas and the Jessies do, but she sat on that steal a vote until the absolute right moment. She hasn't had a perfect alliance for a really long time and totally could have used that to try to get agency for the past month. And she sat on it until the time was right. And that is so hard to do. And she's so no BS. And I really, really enjoy that about her. And now I think she came out of her shell more tonight because she knew that if this was going to work, I hope we see more of like intense Noel.
I agree. I think that Noel reminds me of an older school Survivor player because it doesn't seem like she's trying to game bot it, strategize based on what she's seen, any of that. It seems like she's out there competing and really playing in the moment, mm-hmm. which we don't see that much on newer seasons of Survivor because people are always trying to compare it to, okay, what did this person do? What did that person do? What happened with this? Where was that? Who has this? Like, they're playing the numbers based on what they've seen. And Noelle might be doing that too, but from what I saw tonight, it reminded me of like early 20s, late teens Survivor, where it was just, okay, I have this thing that I can use to better my game, and I'm just going to keep trying to wait to have to use it. Like, I'm just going to do everything I can to wait. It just reminds me of that. I also thought it was hilarious, though, when Owen reminded us all that it was Owen, James, and her who went on the walk, and that clearly that alliance was not happening, even though we all thought that might be something. Clearly, that never actually panned out.
It was actually really – I didn't really consider that until Owen said that. He was like, ironically enough, me, James, and Noel – mm-hmm. were the ones who went on this walk together. So it is funny to see how all of that intersects. What do you think is, I feel like I have an idea of where everyone is going to fall now, except for Owen, kind of like what we were talking about with Cassidy. Owen got what he wanted. Mm-hmm. What happens now?
So I think Owen is in, I think Owen's still in a bad spot. So I think, I think Owen, in my opinion, Owen is probably seventh or eighth place at this point. That's where I'm starting to feel him going, because when I really look at this eight that is left, I see more of a chance of an alliance of Cassidy, Jesse, Cody, Sammy, Carla, mm-hmm. with Gabler, Owen, and Noel on the outside looking in. And I think in that situation, Owen is probably the biggest threat out of the three that aren't in it. Now that could change 100%, and Cody and Jesse could be serious and want to work with Gabler, and Owen could get in with Sammy and maybe Noel and maybe Carla. Who knows? There's a lot of avenues this can go, but I don't think that this improved Owen's game that much. But the name of the game in Survivor is just keep surviving, right? Like, Owen would either be sitting at home right now, or he'd be in a position where he's probably going to finish seventh or eighth. At least when you're in this position, you have a chance to better your game. So mm-hmm. I don't think that this bettered his circumstances, but he still has the potential to go out there and just win.
Yeah, definitely. I think he can either totally reset right now, or people are going to say, well, we got rid of one of them, let's just get rid of the other one now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To go backwards a sec, because me, you, and Zach talked about this. again, I have no idea if this was intentional or not. Jeff did not even complete his sentence before Noelle raised her hand and was like, I need to play my steal a vote. I don't know if she knew that James could potentially get in the way of it, but, or she was just like so amped to do it. But I thought that was really funny considering that we were talking about how she very well could have had that wasted if James beats her to it.
I bet you she knew. I bet you she had calculated that and realized that if she didn't do this right, you know, it could backfire on her.
Yeah.
But I just also think like she was so excited. Really, the hardest part for me was how is Owen gonna act in the moment? Because
yeah, Owen, do you think he sold it well? My girlfriend and I were like trying to decide if that was a good sell or not. I don't know if he did.
Here's my thing. I don't think it really mattered because he knew he had Carla's vote. If he didn't have Carla's vote, I think Carla might have been playing her idol for James. I don't think he sold it well because he kind of just like nodded his head. And like even Jeff called him on it being like, you just nodded your head. So I think that for Noelle, she just wanted to get it out there so James couldn't play the knowledge is power just in case and ruin this plan in case Sammy or Carla had decided to tell him. So at least she gets to play her knowledge is power or her steal a vote. But Owen, I don't think sold it that well, but I don't think he had to just because of the circumstances.
Yeah, that's a good point that it didn't really matter. I was actually, and this is Jeff's job, but at one point Jeff asks a question that I think like almost tipped James off. And again, I don't think it was intentional, but Jeff was like, oh yeah, there's good things about advantages, but also they can completely mess up your plan. And you see James like for a minute kind of think, I don't know if that was just a good editing trick, but I was like, wow, that one question potentially could have changed everything.
Yeah, we say this pretty much. I feel like we say this almost every single week where it's like, all right, Jeff, like, take it easy with like sometimes it does feel like he's leading. And, yeah. And that moment of him saying, oh, and you just nodded your head. James could have turned and looked at Carla and said, are you going to play your idol for me? But it seemed like James was so comfortable in his position.
Yeah.
I think Ryan says he was blindsided tonight. I think Ryan was going to be blindsided no matter what, just because Ryan wasn't really playing the game.
Yeah.
But I think James was so comfortable in his position in this game and with Carla that he really believed that if anything was going to happen, he was going to be told. I don't know. If Jeff might have been able to just look them in the eye and say, hey, by the way, Noelle's going to play or steal a vote and vote you out tonight, James. And James would have been like, uh-huh, sure she is. Like,
yeah,
I just think he was so blinded. But yeah, I do think Jeff needs to watch it a little bit with that stuff because it can definitely cause a problem here and there, you know?
Right. Just because the players now are so meta and they're looking at. They know what to look for and they know that the tribal conversations are based around what video footage they've watched. So it's I think it worked out fine, but that was like a note that I had. One other thing.
Yep.
This is probably the worst mistake that you and I have ever made on this podcast. We have gone through two podcasts and someone left a comment about this and I didn't believe them. I rewatched the episode. Last week when Owen won immunity, he hugged Jeff.
Oh my God.
And we completely missed
it. We're numb.
It means nothing to us. He hugged him after after they talked and like leading into the commercial. We both completely missed it. Owen hugged Jeff. He is the king.
Oh my God. So Owen, okay. So this move tonight really helped Owen and Owen is now on the path to winning.
Owen's
going to
win. We love
Owen.
Yeah.
Like how the hell, what is wrong with us?
It's so bad. I genuinely didn't believe it. I had to like pause. I had to go like frame by frame to make sure it happened.
You guys realize, like, for anybody who's new to this podcast, Troyzan, like, pretty much found out about us because he hugged Jeff. And that's when he decided that he loved us, was when he hugged Jeff and we made such a big deal out of it. And he didn't understand why it was a big deal. And now poor Owen's out there giving it everything he's got. And we're not making a big deal of it. We have to send Owen, like, a Christmas card or something because that's total baloney.
We need to send him a pizza or something. But what's funny is either way, if Owen has never listened to this podcast in his life, and maybe he listens, he's going to be like, what's so special about this? Or would be better is if he is a gigantic fan, and then he's like, I freaking hugged Jeff, and you jerks literally didn't even comment on it. Owen, we love you. Thanks for hugging Jeff. That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. And Owen's sitting there, like, you know, before he went out there, he's telling everybody that his biggest dream on Survivor is to get that immunity necklace on. But in reality, when he's planning to go out there, he's like, all right, how am I going to hug Jeff so Phil and Alexa will appreciate me? That's awesome. Yeah. I wonder who had that. Like, anybody who had that, congratulations. You're in a better place than me. There was no blindfold this season. So
the new meme moving forward isn't who will hug Jeff. Someone has to go out there and be in an endurance challenge. And Jeff says, what's inspiring you to do this? And they say, Phil and Alexa gassing me up if I hug you.
That's all. That's what we want. If you go on Survivor and you don't say that, we don't want you. We don't want you to do an interview. We don't want anything. That's all we want. And Jeff to just look at them and say, all right, whatever the hell that means. And then we need the silhouette of Mike Gabler in the background where it just says, and this minute's for Phil and Alexa. Yeah. Like, that's all I want, you know?
Someone make a meme out of that. That's a gigantic deal. A lot of other profit things have happened. We need to change the blur. You need to have your mouth blurred 3 times moving forward. This is truly ridiculous how much this cast swears. Not Sammy and Ryan.
Well, no, supposedly somebody is claiming. So we have to go back and watch the episode where Gabler gets called an effing idiot and see if it's Sammy or Owen. Because somebody was claiming in the last video that Sammy has his mouth blurred in that moment because he's the one who says he's an effing idiot.
Oh, well, in that case, we've come full circle. I just assumed Owen because Owen has swore so many times.
Owen is the best college admissions advisor. Yeah. He sits down. He's like, so why the fuck kids. Do you want to be here? Right? Yeah. Like,
the fuck are you doing here? I guess that's how you relate to the kids these days.
Amazing.
So that happened. James says cool beans a lot. What else do we have? Oh, another comment that came up. This comes up pretty often. How did these groups get divided? Because it, unless Jeff said something, it fell a little conveniently.
It did fall conveniently. I do believe that it's a random pull out of a hat. But I think that they need to go back to picking or something. Like, for this one, you don't pick, right? This one makes sense. You don't pick. It's random. That's how you get screwed. Show us the random, though. Like, just show us the rocks being drawn. I get that it's already implied, but cut out the flag at the beginning that says Survivor 43. You know, cut that stupid thing out and let's do this instead. Or cut out a Christmas commercial in November and let's do this. Like, let's see this instead. Right. Cause like, I agree with you. It did feel like it fell conveniently, but I feel like it only feels convenient because we are watching the season. Mm-hmm. And remember, they're giving us a storyline for these characters that should feel convenient. Cassidy had her slaying of her Goliath tonight. Like, that was a big deal for Cassidy. And Sammy and Owen have been wanting to make a move this whole time, and they finally were able to. If they didn't make those moves, or if they went home tonight, or if these splits never happened, we might not have heard so much about those storylines. Mm-hmm. But every week, they're going to set the storyline up for what's actually to come. You see that if you go back and watch any season of Survivor. You hear lines and things that you don't think anything about. But when you know the outcome, you're like, oh, okay, that's the hint that this person is going to vote that person out of the game or something like that. There's so many hints. Ian Rosenberger is going to quit and pull out. It's unbelievable. So I just think, like, that's why it felt convenient. Mm-hmm. But they could have edited it a totally different way where it wouldn't have felt convenient at all.
Yeah, that's a really good point. What else on this episode?
That was really it. I do want to just say one more. So Cody ended up winning the PB&Js for everybody. Cody and Ryan went head to head, and that was pretty awesome. Cody finally got his first place after being the bridesmaid for so long. But I was most impressed with Carla's just because of the hand.
Yeah.
And I think that was really impressive. And for her to hang in there with Ryan and Cody, who have been two of the strongest competitors the entire time.
With their twitching biceps.
I hate when I do that. Every time I just try to like scratch my head, my biceps just start twitching. But I was very impressed with that. And, you know, we always kind of gloss over immunity challenges unless they take up 45 minutes of the episode like that one week. But, you know, Carla's win here was a big win. And now that the male to female ratio is the most even it has been since what, week 3 of this show. So Everybody get amped. Okay. For everybody who was complaining, it's closer now. And I think Cassidy, Noelle and Carla all had very good episodes tonight. Like,
they had great episodes, less testosterone, Team Noel. Testosterone.
I know. That was, I think Peridium was like, that's about to be gift. Like, yes, it is.
Absolutely going to be gift. And if that's her legacy, I feel like she's probably going to be happy with
she's
that.
Probably stoked about it, right? Like, whatever.
Okay, so a few other props that happened. So Jesse and Gabler both hit 5 rewards tonight. So very excited for them. Okay. James went home with an unused advantage. Everyone's mouths were blurred. I pretty much like didn't even know what to do with that. Carla and Cody won individual immunity. Owen hugged Jeff 1 week late. Owen's mouth blurred 9 times. Carla had the episode title and her mouth was also blurred.
What about
blurred.
The big women or something like that? Or what about the big
yeah.
girls?
James and Ryan both had like 8 or 9 votes. We assumed that they did not have a confessional in every episode.
They did not.
And this shouldn't count, but I almost want to give Cassidy the Jeff as something other than Jeff just because she referenced the monster, but I don't think we have
no,
to.
No, Jeff doesn't count as the monster. If she would have called Jeff the monster or something. Like she would have had
that's next week.
Yeah, that's next week. I know. So yeah, and did you say the 5 or less votes? Sorry, I zoned for a second there.
Both of them, like Ryan had 8 and James had 9. So they're both
in that middle ground that we love to see.
Exactly.
And for anybody who's keeping track of the fantasy game, Alexa had James and Ryan. So a great night for her.
Spoiler.
The only person left on her team is Noel. Vaughn had both immunity winners. So we just can't get rid of him. And Robert still has Cassidy. So Robert stays alive one more week.
Happy for him.
So yeah, wait, there's an important thing here. Hold on. And Ian Moorhead's team is done. So yeah. Ian Moorhead has officially ended the Survivor Specialist fantasy game with 31 whole points, and he is finito. He is done. Sorry, Ian.
Thanks for playing,
we still love
Ian.
You, but dang, that's a rough go this year.
Absolutely horrific.
coming from Alexa, who's got that one person left. That's yeah. it. But overall, really excited about this final 8. I think it's a very interesting final 8. I think before the season started, Jesse might have been somebody people would expect to get the final 8 and Carla. But I know a lot of people were low on Cody. People were pretty like, you know, middle of the ground on Owen. People were low on Sammy. Noel was kind of a wild card. Cassidy wasn't really anybody's radar. Gabler was, you know, always somebody's early boot. I think this has been a really, really, really interesting season. And this final 8 is unexpected. And sometimes, you know, some of us love the chaos. And I feel like right now the chaos is happening in full effect. And I'm all about it.
It's very chaotic, but a really, really impressive final 8. I'm really excited to see how this finishes up.
Exactly. So, Alexa, you got anything else?
I mean, the only other surprise, like huge surprise, is that Phil and I missed the best prop bet out there. Something that is potentially more surprising is that we have yet again planned for another guest to be joining us. And this one we planned like 2 weeks in advance. So 2017, Phil and Alexa are really back. We are going to be joined by a finalist of Survivor Season 42. Romeo Escobar is going to be joining this podcast Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific time. We are so excited to have Romeo on. We didn't get the chance to talk to him at the end of the season. But he's obviously a huge Survivor fan. I can't wait to hear about his time out there and just hear what he thinks about this season. So make sure to tune into that. We're really excited to have him on.
Yeah. And become a patron, patreon.com/Survivor Specialist. $20 patrons. I'll be doing my after show tomorrow morning where I'll be talking all about the hot topics. Last week's was a heated one. I was very angry for like 15 minutes. But I don't think that'll be the case this week, because I think people are going to be pretty content with how the vote outs went and everything this week. So I'll be doing that tomorrow morning, and we appreciate you all listening. We'll see you next week.
See y'all next week.